Hello, and thank you for joining us today on the Gentle Art of Crushing It show, where we focus on learning and sharing with our listeners all there is to know about how to create success in our lives. This show stands on the shoulders of giants. Our mission is to empower and inspire our listeners to create the life of their dreams whilst having a blast in the process. Let's celebrate life together. Welcome to the show.
Welcome back to the Gentle Art of Crushing It podcast. My name is Randy Smith, and I am your host today. And I am really excited to have Brian Tibbs with us today. Brian is the founder of My Short-Term Home. He owns and operates 35 short-term rentals, and he is also a recently published author of the number one new release book on Amazon titled The Hacker Method, The Unexpected Investor's Guide to Building Wealth, Even on Limited Income. So, Brian, welcome to the show. So excited to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm honored and thrilled to be here with you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Awesome. Well, let's jump in right away. Brian, can you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself and how you found yourself where you are today?
Yeah. So I bought my first duplex when I was in college. I knew I wanted to be a real estate investor. I didn't know anything about investing in real estate, but also probably more, I just wanted to live for free. I didn't want to pay rent anywhere. I didn't want to So, and I didn't want to buy a house and then be saddled with the whole mortgage. So I bought a duplex, right? And that's where it started. And just kept investing in my early 20s, and then actually took a kind of a big turn when I was 27. My wife and I decided to become volunteer missionaries. So we packed up and moved to South America and ended up spending 16 years in South America. And the book that you referenced in the outset is about how we continued to build multi-million dollar net worth, even while living on a very, very meager salary as missionaries living overseas. So that's the quick snippet about who I am.
That is the quick snippet. Yeah, definitely a 16-year journey. First of all, thank you so much for all of your service and everything you did during your journeys over there. I've heard some of those stories through some events we've been at together, and It's just amazing. So thank you for that.
Are you interested in real estate investing but don't know where to get started or think you don't have the time or money? Are you stuck in your W-2 because the golden handcuffs make it hard to walk away? If this sounds like you, check out impactequity.net and schedule some time to talk with the founder, Randy Smith. Randy went from massive income to leaving his W-2 through passive income, and he can help you do the same. www.impactequity.net.
So you ended up buying a duplex, and you go away for 16 years, and I'm guessing you still held that asset while you were gone and then started to buy more. So what did that look like? I know as a missionary, you're not making hardly any money, so how do you continue to acquire properties when you're doing
that? Yeah, so actually Before we left the country, we had actually built up to have 10 units. So we had 10 apartment units before we left. But knowing that we were moving overseas and we didn't have an income source, I actually sold 6 of those 10. So when we moved overseas, I just had 4 units, and we lived off of the kind of the proceeds of some of those for the first few years, and then started actually raising support to have a salary. But if you took our total W-2 income from the nonprofit and divided it into the total hours that we worked, I actually did this math not too long ago. We made $9.20 an hour for 16 years. Average. Obviously, it was better at the end and worse at the beginning, but $9.20. Sure. And so we just very carefully and methodically managed that money, and we invested as much of that as we possibly could into real estate while we were gone. And that's what got us to where we're at today. And we retired from W-2 work in December of 2021 was our final paycheck. So
fantastic. So at $9.20 per hour over 16 years, when you came back to the States, how many doors did you have at that point?
We had 17 doors when we came back. And obviously we've grown it since then because I've turned my focus. It was 100% on the mission. Now it's been on just taking care of the investments and growing the portfolio. And so we've more than doubled in about 18 months, we double our portfolio. So, and then we're going to continue to focus on that and keep growing.
Fantastic. Okay. So now you were primarily long-term rentals when you first got started, and you've made a shift. So talk about that shift if you can, because that is very, very interesting to me.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I talk about in the book is it's important to it's the final step in the hacker method. We can talk about the other steps if you want to, but the final step is you need to review what you're doing. And the purpose of or the exercise of reviewing is, hey, how are these assets performing? What are my investments doing for me? And do I need to make an adjustment? If they're performing the way you want, then you just need to repeat what you're doing and just stay focused. You know, a lot of times as investors or entrepreneurs, we get distracted by the next shiny object or the next asset class. And, ooh, we heard a story about somebody who's crushing it in this, so we chase that. If what you're doing is working, stick with it, repeat it. If it's not producing the returns that you want, you need to rework your strategy. And so that's what happened to us. Back in 2016, I don't know how many units we had at that time, but several. And we had come back to the U.S. For a visit, but because all of our houses were rented out to long-term tenants, we had to stay in someone else's house. So they lent us this house. We walked in at 1 o'clock in the morning. They weren't there, obviously. We were just going to stay there ourselves. We walked in and the house was flooded. So we're like walking through an inch of water throughout the house. So anyway, long story short, we end up in a hotel. The next morning, I'm looking at my family of five crammed into this little hotel. And I'm like, we can't stay here for 2 weeks. We've got to find another option. And my wife said, hey, what about that, like that Air something, something website, right? So I opened up an Airbnb account and was astonished that there was only three homes with three bedrooms available at all in the whole city of Boise. And they were all like $200 a night. And I thought, wow, this is ridiculous and I don't want to pay that. And then after that kind of dialogue, I was like, hey, wait a minute. How much am I getting per night on my long-term rentals? You know, it's like $30 a month or $40 a night, right? $30 a night. Yeah. And so I started to do the math and I thought, okay, we need to see if maybe we could do this. So we switched two or three units over to short-term rentals. 2 months later, it did so well. We just switched the whole portfolio over and haven't looked back. So.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So it's interesting though, to hear that you were able to shift because you're quite often when you're buying the long-term holds, it's a different type of home than something you'd want to do for a short-term rental. So did you have any challenges or any aha moments, or did your buy box change pretty significantly when you shifted the strategy?
Yeah, that's actually a very interesting part of our journey. So yeah, we were buying traditional rentals, right? And along the years from 2016 till now, we have sold some stuff off that was maybe a better traditional rental, but wasn't a good short-term rental. But by and large, we still have probably the majority of our properties we had at that time, we still have, but we have niched ourselves into a different kind of a model. So we're not vacation rentals, we're short-term rentals. And we even call them metro short-term rentals. So we're more of the business traveler that needs someplace small for a couple of nights, or somebody who's coming for a specific event or a business gathering or a family reunion or something like that. So we're not appealing to the family bringing their family that they want to be on the beach or want to be at the mountain lake or anything like that. So we are appealing to really hotel replacement for those short travels. So that was because that's what our portfolio was. And so we've just figured out how to do that. And that's what we have even replicated and multiplied our portfolio based on, that metro short-term rental.
Love it. Yeah. So I think the term you used was hotel replacement, you said?
That's a term I've not heard somebody else say. So I don't know if that's accurate or not. But
so we'll coin it here. You heard it here first, folks. Hotel replacement. So that's an interesting market. And obviously, it's competitive. But to your point, if you're a family of five, you know, you don't want to squeeze a family of five into a $200 a room night. If you're spending $200 a night, might as well have a nice three-bedroom, two-bath house, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right. And some of our units are studios. Some of them, so that would be, you know, more closely to a hotel. Sure. But a lot of them are one-bedroom apartments, two-bedroom houses, three-bedroom houses, up to even a five-bedroom house. So,
well, fantastic. Okay, so you scaled the portfolio from 17 to 35 units over the last couple of years, and it seems like, knowing you as I do, that you are an educator at heart you seem to have a genuine interest to really help other folks. So it was a pretty seamless transition for you to not only, you know, start writing about your experiences and sharing it with folks, but also creating community around that as well. So can you talk a little bit about what you've been doing, the details of the book, and what else you've been doing to try to help others in this space?
Yeah. No, that's a really, really good question. So as missionaries, our whole purpose, now I was the leader of the organization, so it was a lot of organizational leadership that I was doing, but it was still all very focused on serving people and helping people. And so when that chapter ended and we came back to the US and you know, I'm focused on building the portfolio, I still had this desire to serve and I had this desire to teach, like you said, and couple that with when we did finish our work as missionaries. You know, as a missionary, you try to focus on what we were trying to focus on is church development, community development, strengthening families, you know, serving children, all that kind of stuff. And so we had a rule, we don't talk about money, right? And people would always ask, well, what are you going to do next? What's the next job you've got lined up? And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to take a year off and we're going to focus on working on the investments. And I'm not really going to go get another job. And they were just like, well, how are you going to pay your bills? That's a long story. And basically I one of my friends sat me down and cornered me. He's like, what is going on? He was worried for us. Right. And I said, well, I mean, listen, you know, we've been investing and those investments are going to be able to provide for our family. I'm just, you know, dancing around that whole issue of money. And he drilled in further and he basically said, well, how much did you make as a missionary? And that's when I didn't know the answer. It was $9.20 an hour, but I said, it wasn't very much. And he said, well, how did you do that? And I just told him, well, this is, you know, we methodically and maniacally invested the whole time. And then he said, well, can you teach me how to do that? And that's an interesting idea. So as I had more conversations like that, I started thinking, well, maybe there's something we have to offer. So I started to write the book, and it's The Hacker Method here. Came out on February 27th, so it's still fairly new out there. And The Hacker Method is how we built a multi-million-dollar net worth earning less than minimum wage, essentially is kind of our story. And each letter in Hacker means something. So H-A-C-K-E-R is a step in the process. And really, when I sat down to write it, I had to take everything that was in my brain and put it out in a way that people could understand it. And so that's how we came up with The Hacker Method. And the community is an opportunity for people who've read the book or have engaged with us in some way. And they're like, hey, this is what I want to put into practice into my life. I need some accountability. I need go a little bit deeper into the material. So we've started this online community where for $97 a month, you can come in and we're going to journey together going from paycheck to paycheck, kind of like grinding it out every month and never making progress, to building a multi-million-dollar net worth and finding that financial freedom that we're all hoping to achieve.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. So, you know, I've got to ask the question, Hacker. Can we go through the acronym on what it means, what it stands for? So, yeah, run us through H-A-C-K-E-R, I guess.
Okay, so Hacker, H in Hacker is hack your lifestyle. So I have five different categories where we really focus intently on helping people change the mentality of their minds from being a consumer to being an investor. And the first step in that is to just adjust our mindset and our mentality on how we spend our paycheck. And what a lot of people think of when they think of, oh, I've got to change my lifestyle. I can't spend money on myself. It's going to be really frustrating and it's not going to be fun. And actually, we show you how you can actually spend more on the fun kind parts of your budget, clothing, eating out, vacations, entertainment, while you work on figuring out how to get creative to spend less on the negative sides of our budget, the mortgage, the car payments, the interest expenses on your credit cards. So we work on how just re-engineer your lifestyle to where you can get a lot more of your income available for investing. Okay. Your lifestyle. A is allocation budgeting. So figuring out how to take the savings that you've gotten from your lifestyle hacks, boost your income a little bit, and how to allocate that in a way that it doesn't matter what you're making if you have enough time and enough. So we like to say that the diamonds are formed through time and pressure. And yeah. multi-million-dollar net worth is formed through time and pressure. The time is just time going on where your compounding effect comes into effect. And pressure is you constantly feeding your investment fund from your income sources, right? So allocation, budgeting, just figuring out how to set up that plan. CK is one step. Cash is king invested. So once your lifestyle is hacked, your budget is set, now you need to learn how to invest your funds. And look, be out there actively looking for opportunities where you can take that investing part of your income and put it to work to where you can be getting 10, 20, 30% returns on your money, right?
Love it.
Exponentiality. I don't think that's actually a word, but I put it in there because I wanted it to be a mentality, right? So exponentiality is going to that point to where you're trying to figure out how to get not only exponential returns, but infinite returns. And so we go into the steps on that. That's kind of like going from cash is king investing to where, okay, I am investing to, okay, I'm a professional investor and I'm learning how to really get huge returns on my investment over time. And then R, which we touched on briefly, is actually four words. It's review, make sure what you're doing is working. Repeat, what you are doing that's working, just repeat it. Don't get distracted. Rework the stuff that's not working very well. You need to rework it and pivot and, you know, adjust to the market like we did with short-term rentals. And then the last one is reward. And this is one that I think a lot of people, when they first start, they're thinking about the reward. But when they really get into it and they get really disciplined to invest, maybe they forget that part because they're just so intent on wrapping all their gains into the next investment. And I actually teach people, no, you need to harvest a part of every single win. You need to harvest a little bit of that so that your lifestyle can continue to improve and you don't get burned out on the process. So, hacker.
I love it. I love it. That is, it's interesting the path that you take the reader through from really, because it all comes down to mindset. So if you can shift the mindset on the front end and then adjust the actual habits that they have with their money as they're earning and spending, and then ultimately refining through the R's on the end. That's fantastic. So my wife and I went through the Dave Ramsey baby steps and we adjusted them and we built in kind of a piece where, like, as a sales guy, I was getting large bonus checks. And every time we got those, we would take 75% of the bonus checks and put immediately towards debt or into investing. But then we would very specifically take 25% of those excess funds and go have fun and live outrageous lives. And I think it's such a good point. So many people will go blow the money first and then invest versus investing first and paying yourself first and then going there. So love that. I love acronyms. I love how you built that into a story. So now is this kind of like a textbook that people can walk through and do step by step, or is it a parable, or what is the format of the book?
Yeah, it is more of a step-by-step how-to. It's really how to build wealth even on a limited income. Now, you don't have to be on a limited income. I know medical doctors who are making multiples, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year who are just as strapped as somebody who's making minimum wage, because they're funding a lifestyle that takes every bit of income that they've got. And so, but it's how we did it. It's how you can do it. And it doesn't matter the income that you make. So it really is a how-to. But like you said, we are addressing mindset things because that's probably the biggest thing that needs to be adjusted. You know, honestly, you could, like you were saying, you took Dave Ramsey's thing and you kind of tweaked it a little bit. I would be totally fine with somebody taking this and tweaking it a little bit to make it fit their thing, so long as their mentality is right and their mindset is in the right spot.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what you are doing right here is offering the mastermind in the community as well, because that mindset piece is something that has to be reinforced on a regular basis. It's easy to read a book and get excited about some things, but if you don't have that constant reminder of what you should be doing, those days when you're living paycheck to paycheck and you're paying down the debt and you're putting everything into investing, that can be a dark place to be. So I think having that community can be so powerful. So great job doing that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. And I would even say, you know, when people first start investing in stocks, and they pile some money in there, and their first dividend check is 24 cents. They're like, what is this? Yeah. I'm never getting anywhere with this. Okay. Yes. The first day is tough. It's like the first day of anything's tough, right? You got to get to where that time is multiplying for you before you're going to see this thing really turn over. So.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, you mentioned in the acronym of Hacker that getting it in, what was it? Exponential infinite.
Exponentiality. Returns. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. We're going to have to submit that one to Webster's here and get that included.
Yeah, but, right.
Now you had mentioned getting returns 10, 20, 30%. So I know you're a short-term rental guy. Do you walk people through that process of how to do short-term rental investing, or is it broader than that? Are there other strategies that you discuss as well?
Yeah. So the book is really agnostic on the asset class. So this is not a how to succeed through short-term rentals. Obviously I have a lot of experience in that, and I do talk about it and I reference it and I give some examples. But you know, there's people that do very well in multifamily traditional rental investing, or that do, Bitcoin or gold, or, you know, there's lots of different strategies out there. And the drum that I'm beating is just start investing, find the area that you're uniquely able to contribute to the world in, and tackle that and get an expert in that and rinse and repeat that, right? So I do strongly encourage real estate investing. I think that real estate has some unique characteristics that most other asset classes, if not no other asset class, really has. So I encourage real estate investing. But if somebody feels more comfortable just doing stock investing or building their own small business or whatever, you know, I'm all in favor of that, so long as you're investing going forward. Yep. So
it sounds like it would marry very well with what we talk about on this podcast constantly, which is passive investing through the syndication model in real estate. So it's whether you're taking 25 or 50 grand a year to buy a short-term rental or gold or investing in a syndication, the hockey stick approach can occur here just as well, regardless of what the asset class is.
Absolutely.
So very good. Well, exciting. So this was a big accomplishment. I know you don't decide to write a book and then next week it gets published.
Right.
So this has been a long path, and you're getting to enjoy some of the rewards of all of that hard work and effort. But now, as you've got the book now behind you, of course, you're promoting it a lot and you've got this community that you're growing. What's next for Brian Tibbs and for the community and for your business now?
Yeah. So we're really focused on, for me, I don't need a job. So it's not for me a business that has to perform this way and do that and that. This is really because I just have a desire to serve and teach and give the world something that I've received. And that is the understanding of how to take a dollar and multiply it many times over. So I want to walk alongside people who are just fed up with the paycheck to paycheck thing and are wanting to build that multi-million dollar net worth, create that freedom so they can spend more time with their families, so they can spend more on their families and make the world a better place through their generosity as well. And so that's what the community is all about. It would thrill me to bring somebody into the community, watch them go from just financially strapped to become multimillionaires and just be a part of that journey. That is what I'm excited about. So we're going to be focusing our energy on that. And obviously we're within the community, we're working the Hacker Method together. And so that's how that all ties in.
So certainly our listeners are going to want to figure out how to reach out to you, Brian. So how could investors find you? Obviously the book is on Amazon and all the normal channels, but if somebody wanted to connect with you or your community, how would they do that?
Yeah. So my website is theunexpectedinvestor.com, and we've got lots of the information on there. We've got some free content on there, including the information on the community. The book's at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart.com, Target.com, you know, all those different places where you can pick up the book. I'm also on social media. If you just want to follow on social media, at Unexpected Investor on all the different platforms. And we'd love to have you engage there and comment and share and just be a part of our discussion there.
I love it. I love it, Brian. Well, this has been a lot of fun learning more. I know you and I spent some time together out in Moab on some mountain bikes, which turned into kind of like a Gilligan's Island 3-hour tour kind of issue. But nonetheless, we won't get into those details. But no, it's been really neat to get to know you and see this book being launched and all the success that you're having. So, Brian, thank you so much for coming on the show. I do have a few questions, though, that I like to ask everybody on the show if we have just a few more minutes. So
absolutely,
let's jump in. Now, obviously, your book is probably the best resource for folks if they want to learn about the Hacker Method.
Yep.
But for the audience that is the new or newer passive investor, mm-hmm. are there any other resources outside of your book that you would encourage folks to go out and find or leverage to start their journey?
Yeah, so I think, you know, actually I wanted to mention that I do have in the exponentiality section of my book, I do talk about passive investing. And I think that is kind of one of those graduation levels to a certain level of sophistication that most people maybe starting out don't even know exists. I was talking to a family member of mine who's a CPA, and she had never heard of a syndication, and I was shocked. And she works with these big operators. Yeah. So that she didn't even know what that was. So
sure.
Your group is a sophisticated group. For me, I love the podcast, the All In podcast. Are you familiar with that podcast?
I am not. No, I've not heard of it. So All In.
It's for basically VCs, venture capitalists from the Silicon Valley that have, been involved in Meta and PayPal, and they've been in all the big companies, Google, and they don't spend all their time talking about investing, but they do talk a lot about LPs and GPs and investing strategies and VC money and all this different stuff. It's very fascinating because they're like top of the food chain people that have been inside these boardrooms of these massive decisions, and they talk about the politics of the day as well. They're not like all left or all right. It's really a discussion about what's going on in the day. And I just think it's an opportunity to be inside of a room, inside of a conversation that you wouldn't normally like to be in. So I would totally recommend your audience checking those guys out. I think they're incredible.
I love it. I will have to add it to my list of hundreds of podcasts now that
I know, right?
But that sounds interesting. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I will definitely check that one out. And maybe a question here that's a little more fun that you and I have been connected through a group called GoBundance, and we have this focus on bucket list items. So I'm curious, what is a bucket list item you've recently checked off your list or one you're hoping to in the near future?
Well, this one's easy for me. Literally last night at 11:30 p.m., I got home from a week-long trip to Dubai in the United Arab Emirates.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So
fantastic. Yeah.
When our kids turn 15, we have just our tradition is the kid gets to pick anywhere in the world that they want to go for vacation, just mom and dad and the kid. And so my 15-year-old son picked Dubai. So that's where we went. And I tell you what, I was just as excited to go as he was. It was a lot of fun. If anybody has the chance to go, definitely you got to go. It's really, really, really fun experience.
Fantastic. And what a lucky 15-year-old that mom and dad.
Yeah.
Bring him on a worldwide trip. That's fantastic. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. And then our last question we like to ask everybody is, if you had $100,000 that you had to invest in the next couple of weeks and you could not put it in one of your own deals, where would you place that capital today?
Yeah. You know, what I would do in that situation is I would go find a friend of mine, someone who I trust that I know is raising capital or is doing good stuff. And obviously, I'm going to look at their prospectus. I want to see what they're doing. I want to see what their projected returns are. But I would love to just support a friend who is trying to raise money. I would encourage other people to do that as well. Invest with your friends, and support the people around you that matter to you. So that's what I would do. And I have a few friends of mine. You're included in that list that I would give a call and say, hey, what are you working on right now? And let's see what's going on.
Fantastic, Brian. That's a great answer. I've not had anybody answer that way, but I think it's really good advice to invest with the people you know, like, and trust, and the people that are closest to you, and that's going to work out generally. So, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, yeah, thank you so much for coming on. I think this has been just a great, great conversation. I'm excited. Actually, I need to go out and buy the book, and I think our audience needs to do the same thing. It seems like you're taking what can be considered very difficult and challenging topics and putting it into terms that are easily understandable. So really a great service you provided, and it's been a pleasure hearing about that process. So thanks so much for being on the show.
I appreciate that. And the book is, you know, even if you're a seasoned investor, hopefully there's some stuff in there for you. But it's also something I've encouraged people, hey, you know somebody in your life that is living paycheck to paycheck, that this would be a fantastic gift for them, that may be $1 million gift for them, right? Mm-hmm. If they could learn some mindset things, learn some disciplines, learn some investing concepts, could really change someone's life. So that's what it's for.
I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Brian. And to the audience, as always, I want to thank you for joining us today. Continue that education journey. Continue learning more. Brian's book is a great way to do that. But even more important than that, I just encourage you to take action. And whether it's buying Brian's book and starting that journey or making that decision to invest in your first passive investment, we're convinced that once you do, you're going to be so happy that you did and just wish that you had started sooner. So thank you again for joining us today. And please be sure to join us next Thursday for another great episode. Thank you.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, another episode of The Gentle Art of Crushing It. It was an amazing episode. We know we sure learned a lot, and we hope you did as well. We want to take a second and thank you so much for viewing or listening to this episode. And please just know that we only ask for one favor, and that is to make this life magnificent. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.